Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad in Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined, as always, by top London radio DJ and certified Japanophile, Mr. Pete Donaldson. Pete, I blended all the words into one, but how are you doing?
Well done, mate. I'm very proud of you. It's very late where you are. I'm
very certified Japanophile. Terrible.
Well, I think the most pertinent thing is that I'm not a top London radio DJ. From next week, I'm actually leaving my radio station, Chris.
What?
So it's going to be, you're going to have to change your intro. You're going to have to change that stock intro you've got in your head.
But that intro is the Abroad in Japan podcast. Without that 10-second intro, we're nothing.
I know.
What are we going to do? Why are you leaving? Why are you leaving your cushy top London radio DJ job?
Because,
why would you ever do that?
Because the old podcasts have kind of taken off, haven't they? Everyone's bloody listening to them, so I'm just too busy and... When I was doing the Football Ramble tour and stuff, I was having to take time off to do that from Absolute Radio. And so I was in a situation where I wasn't getting a holiday, Chris, to be honest. I was robbing Peter to pay Paul.
Poor Albert. So you're very much a victim of your own success to some degree. You're now going to be just doing podcasts entirely, such as Football Ramble, Abroad Japan, Wrestle Me, Luke and Pete show. This is a good thing, though, surely, because it means you can actually come to Japan more. We can actually be the Abroad in Japan podcast a little bit more often going forward, like potentially.
Yeah, I mean, there is a certain part of me that says I'm free, but I'm also staring into an abyss. But then there's also a big part of me that goes, I can go on holiday more. I could go to Japan more. So I should actually be over in February for a few days, because I think I'm going to pop into a friend wanting to go to Taiwan, so I might do that for a few days, and then I'll pop into Japan for a couple of days, hang out with my boy Chris.
Wonderful. Jolly good. Jolly good indeed. And of course, I'm coming back to the UK in a few weeks, because it's the Christmas season, ladies and gentlemen. Mm. I'm a horrible, bitter, sarcastic, twisted individual, but at Christmas, even I put on a smile. It is my favourite time of year. I love Christmas. Are you a Christmas person, Pete?
I'm very much a Christmas person. I've never understood people who don't get into it. Maybe they've just had bad experiences, but just put it all away. Get over yourself. I was at a carol service yesterday evening, and it was a lot of fun. And I sang all the carols, the ones I understood anyway. And I had some mulled wine, and I had a mince pie, and all was good with the world.
Wonderful. I'm still in Japan at the moment. The problem is, they do Christmas in Japan a little bit. It's all very commercial. You know, we have like Last Christmas playing overhead. There's a few Christmas lights going on, but it all feels a little bit hollow. It all feels like there's not much depth to it. I'm not a religious person, but I don't deny the religious component of Christmas makes it a little bit more appealing, a little bit more, I don't know, meaningful potentially. But anyway, I am looking forward to coming back in about a week. It's also bloody freezing in North Japan. We do have a little bit of snow here. I suppose that's the only good thing. You can actually enjoy a white Christmas in Japan in a way we never seem to get in the UK. So I'm excited about that. But going back to the intro, top London radio DJ and certified Japanophile. What are we going to call you now? Top London podcaster.
Top London man. I mean, to be honest, I'm a little bit more into
Top London man.
That they've decided to announce my leaving to the rest of the staff the day after the Christmas party. So it might sound like I've done something dreadful at the Christmas party.
That's sad.
So
that's
it's
too
just,
bad. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening in, what should we call Pete? Send us your recommendations to RawJapanPodcast@gmail.com. What are we going to call Pete next year, starting January? Mm. He's not a Top London radio DJ anymore.
I've evolved like
out,
a Pokemon.
Because I haven't a clue. Evolved or, like, what's the opposite to evolution?
Devolution.
You've devolved today. I think it's good, though. I'm excited. I was actually thinking about you this week. I've just got back from Tokyo. I was filming several videos with the great Natsuki. He passes on his best wishes to you and the listeners of the podcast. But I was making I made two videos, and they're all very Pete Donaldson inspired. The first one was Retro Pac-Man, which I mentioned last week. We unboxed the little Retro Pac-Man video game. It's really small. We've got two versions. One is the size of a size of a packet of tissues, a box of tissues. And the reason I'm saying that is because there's one right next to me, because I've been blowing my nose this afternoon. But it's about the size of a box of tissues. And there's also a smaller one, a tiny one, which is the size of a box of, I don't know, it's the size of a
it's
mobile
lit,
phone.
Isn't it? It's lit, isn't it?
Small.
You're trying to figure out how big things are.
It's too difficult. But they're both tiny, and we had a lot of fun with that. But the second video was also inspired by you. We know you love learning Japanese. We know you love learning your Japanese phrases. Are you still learning Japanese? How have you been doing with that recently?
There's been a bit of a halting for the last 6 months. But I did put a page of a kanji book onto the side of my shower, which is how I kind of learn vocab. So I've learnt words like sunshine and evaporate and emerge from an opening.
Wow.
Which is on everybody's exit signs. It's like emerge from an opening is like the standard kind of kanji for exit, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Like dasu and deru. What's the word for sunshine?
Oh, I don't know what the word is. I just know what it looks
on
like.
The spot
it looks,
test.
Like a, looks like a little...
All right.
Looks like a little square with two lines in it.
And if if you're listening, ladies and gentlemen, this is the secret to learning, it seems, is Pete Donaldson just sticks his kanji sheets up on the side of a shower curtain.
Yeah.
And that seems to have worked wonders for you.
You can read it while you're in the
generally.
Shower. Because, like, it just... But it just
perfect.
Seems like there's lots of... With two of the sun... Like, the sun signs. Two of the sun signs seem to be bright or clear, prosperous. And then if there's three of them, it also seems bright and clear. It's like, just have one, guys. Come on. Get with it.
How many kanji characters do you know now, do you reckon, out of the 2,200?
Five. A long way to go.
Five kanji. Oh, dear. It seems your shower curtain language hacking doesn't seem to be as effective as I thought it was. But the video I worked on with Natsuki is called 25 Japanese Phrases You Need to Know. And basically, we just went through like 25 simple words. We avoided like the real basics, like konnichiwa and ohayou gozaimasu and arigato. And we focused more on verbs and adjectives, like mezurashi, natsukashi, sabishi, saiko. Do you know any of those words? Do you know mezurashi?
No, I know natsukashi. Isn't that retro? Retro?
Kind of, yeah. It's nostalgic.
Right,
if you're
feeling
nostalgic. So if you pick up Retro Pac-Man... you can sort of say, oh, natsukashi ne, natsukashi. Mezurashi means rare. So if something's quite rare or unlikely or unexpected, you can sort of say, oh, that's mezurashi, you know. Oh, mezurashi. Sabishi. Do you know sabishi?
No.
Sabishi means lonely. So if you're sitting alone in your apartment in the corner drinking a beer, then that's sabishi, lonely.
What's
saiko. Subarashi means great or amazing.
Cool.
That's a good
one.
It's kind of not as used as much as sugoi, which is like the word you hear on Japanese television every 10 seconds. Everything's sugoi, everything's amazing. But saiko is a good one to know. That means, do you know what this one means, saiko?
No.
Sounds a little bit like Saiko. Saiko means the best, the like number one, the biggest, the best, the most amazing.
Itchy bad.
So you can use it like in a scientific way, you know, if you want to say it's the greatest value, Saiko. Or most people just sort of say, oh, it's the best. So if you have a sip of some ramen, it's the best ramen you've ever had, you can be like, oh, Saiko. Put a ramen. Saiko on it.
It's like
the best.
The watch brand Seiko. Maybe that's why they call it that.
Spelling's a little bit different. But yeah, you could make an advertising campaign for Seiko. Seiko, Seiko. The most amazing watch company ever.
Yeah.
But yeah, we had a lot of fun with that. We spent a day just walking around Tokyo, and we basically did it that Natsuki and I were just having this day out together, and the words came up naturally in conversation. And then the sort of situation would unravel, and then I would step out of the frame a little bit and talk to the camera directly, and Natsuki would like ignore the camera. So it's kind of cool. It's kind of a weird feel. I've never done anything like that before.
Oh,
talking,
I like that.
Kind of breaking the fourth wall. Yeah, I think it'd be good. I've yet to look over the footage, but I think it could work.
Yeah.
And also this week got the Journey Across Japan epilogue coming out. I've been looking at your face all day, listening to your voice, because I've been doing this montage of the cycle, and there's a clip of you saying, "You're the real monster, Chris," and I've
I agree with that.
And I've blown that up in loud volume, and that's my favourite part of the montage, which you might recall.
Yeah, I do.
Because after I destroyed your monster in Kyoto, I did. But yeah, it's taken me a year to get to the epilogue. It's ridiculous. I finished the cycle, Journey Across Japan, 1 year ago. Only now is the epilogue done, after we finished the whole series in August. So it's a little bit late, but better late than ever. And it kind of just talked about what happened behind the scenes and how much weight I lost or didn't lose. And yeah, it's a nice little wrap-up, I think.
Oh,
so
smashing.
Lots of people have been bugging me about that. So if you're wondering when that's coming out, ladies and gentlemen, probably Wednesday or Thursday. So by the time you listen to this, it should be out or coming out today. So
cool.
Keep an eye out for that.
Lovely.
Anyway, but it is the Christmas season, and do you know what happens at the Christmas season in Japan in terms of the work environment, Pete? What goes on?
I imagine a lot of people just get very drunk, which they seem to do all the time.
Well, have you had your work party yet for the radio station?
No, as I said, it's coming out a couple of days' time. So I've had one Christmas party for Aircast, who provides our adverts and puts our show out effectively. And then I've got one for Stakhanov, which is our parent company, on Saturday, and I've got an Absolute Radio party on Wednesday. It's just constant. Bloody constant.
Bloody hell. You are going to have a lot of hangovers. But do you enjoy the kind of Christmas party atmosphere?
Yeah, as long as you don't go too mad. I think it's all very relaxed. Nice to sort of take stock, see what you've all achieved, and just have a bloody good drink.
Fair point. I don't have a single work party because I am just a YouTuber. There is no work party. It's a bit depressing, really. I should just get the Abroad in Japan team together, which is just me, Natsuki, Ryotaro, and just sit in a room and get drunk. But that won't be happening.
Little hats on your head.
little hats on our heads, getting the Christmas spirit. But in Japan, they have this work party season. And as I said, they don't really do a lot for Christmas except Born Enkai. Have you ever heard of Born Enkai?
No.
I think I might have mentioned it a year ago. But do you remember it?
I don't remember Born Enkai.
You don't remember it? So Born means to forget, and Enkai means party. So it literally means kind of the year-end party, forgetting the year party. And the idea is, no matter what the year has thrown at you, you can sit down with your work colleagues, have a drink, and just kind of forget the year. but it's kind of, in the recent decade, you kind of find that younger folks don't really like them so much, because a lot of people, rather than seeing it like a party where everyone gets drunk and has a bit of fun, it's more kind of, they feel like they're being held hostage, because it's not something you can really avoid. You have to go to it, you have to drink a lot, you have to talk awkwardly to colleagues. Some colleagues kind of speak their minds a bit too much. I've been to quite a few, obviously. Back when I was a teacher, I used to go to one every year, and it's all right. But if you are a foreigner at a Japanese work party, you do have to drink a staggering amount. They just keep coming and bringing alcohol. And I don't know if you know this, but in Japan, you can't pour your own drink. You have to wait for someone to pour your drink, or you have to pour someone else's drink. So obviously, if you've got an empty beer glass, usually you have to hint by pouring your neighbour's glass. You sort of go, oh, do you want some beer? And then you pour it, and then they take the beer bottle from you, and then they pour your drink. And so you have to hint and it gets a little bit awkward and weird. But I think you'd quite like it.
Yeah.
I'll have to try and get you into one next year.
As long as it ends with a dance. I like a dance, Chris. You know me.
Well, I remember one year there was a really big AKB 48 song called Fortune Cookie, and not a great song by all accounts, but we had to, like, all the teachers got up and started dancing to this Fortune Cookie song. It was pretty surreal. But, like, what's really interesting about Japan and the drinking culture and work parties is people change. They really switch after a beer or two. Like, I remember vividly getting into a party, getting into a Bonenkai, and you go in and you have the seating plan, the dreaded seating plan, which I suppose is awkward in any situation, let alone Bonenkai. Maybe it's a wedding, maybe it's a work party. You never know who you're going to sit next to, and usually it's someone you don't particularly want to sit next to. But I'd always sit down at a table. None of the people I usually talk to were there, and half the teachers just ignored me at first because I didn't know quite what to do or how to communicate with me, and it's a little bit awkward. Yeah. But after one beer, they completely open up. It's like Jekyll and Hyde. They sort of switch and kind of... It's like after one beer, they're like, oh, yeah, we can talk to you now. We're free. and some of them are a little, like, open up a bit too much. Some of them a little bit racist in a friendly kind of racist way. most of them just ply you with staggering amounts of alcohol. And I guess for the most part, I enjoyed it. But, yeah, after a few years, it does wear on a bit. And I'm not particularly envious of people that do have to sit through, like, Bonenkais.
Yeah.
And you can't miss it. Can't really miss it, but you weirdly often end up playing bingo, of all things.
Where's that come from?
Do you like bingo?
No,
it's just like a thing in Japan. They love bingo.
Right,
you'll sit down, you'll have a drink, you'll have the meal. There'll be like 40 years of speeches. They just don't stop doing speeches in Japan for whatever reason. And then they're like, right, bingo. And then, no, I'm not even lying, you generally get like a little bingo slip, you scribble in the numbers you want, and then you play bingo, and it's really boring, but they love it. So, are you a bingo man?
No, it's in England, it's
no.
Very much regarded as being an older person's pursuit with their mega dobbers and stuff, but in the old bingo halls, the mecha bingos. But I think maybe it's like a kind of luck thing. If you win the Christmas bingo, your next year is going to be very profitable and prosperous.
Yeah, I don't think we really won much in bingo. It was like a box of like biscuits, if that.
Mm.
But I don't know. I always find work parties a little bit awkward, though, not just in Japan, but in general, because you get your colleagues get drunk and, you know, they'll often sometimes... I remember they'll say things and you kind of... remember it. I'm the sort of person that will remember it after a night out.
Oh,
you know,
no.
Going to work the next week. And it's just there awkwardly, like the weird stuff people have said. I remember one work party in Japan when I was a teacher, you know, one colleague who I liked and was nice, but just opened up about how he hated all the colleagues and just went on for like half an hour about how he hated them all. And, you know, You're supposed to forget these things. It's a Bonenkai. You forget the year. But I can't forget that. Well, I'm sitting in the bloody office next week and all the teachers are there. I'm thinking, oh, he hates them. He hates them all. I can't get that out of my head. In Japan, it's all right. Apparently, if you drink a little bit, anything can be said. And
anything
then you just have to pretend to forget it.
Exciting.
Anything goes. But there you go. Next year, we'll have to do a Bonenkai. With you.
Abroad in Japan,
Bonenkai. Bring the viewers down.
Yeah.
Hire out a beer hall in Roppongi or in Tokyo and invite the whole world down.
Bonenkai.
The world's biggest Bonenkai. Do it. It'll be fun.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com. I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
All right, let's dive into the fax machine. What have we got, then, Mr. Donaldson?
We've got an email from... my phone's playing silly buggers at the moment. From TZ, or Tuz, I think, maybe. I don't know how you really pronounce that, but thank you very much for... messaging us on the fax machine. Dear Chris and Pete, hello. I don't know where you, when you'll read this or if you two will even read this. I just want to say that your podcast helped me during the Typhoon Kamuri here in the Philippines. The typhoon flooded my house, which is nothing new, but I stayed in the kitchen during the night and tried to not get scared from the strong rain and wind going against my window. I sacrificed my phone's battery to listen to your podcast. You really shouldn't do that, TZ. Please don't do that. I sacrificed my phone's battery to listen to your podcast, and it really gave me the comfort not to get scared. I'm currently writing this in my school since there's no electricity and the typhoon literally cut the line of my internet. Sounds like mine, to be fair.
Oh my God.
I just want to say that your podcast is amazing and I listen to it whenever I'm doing house chores or during commute to school. Keep the good work. Every episode makes me laugh. TZ, Tez, thank you so much for messaging. Look after yourself during a typhoon.
Wow.
Don't waste your batteries on us, but thank you for listening.
Is it a he or a she? I'm not sure. But regardless, best listener
baby,
ever.
Who cares?
Sacrificing the last bit of battery on their phone
personal
in a typhoon
safety.
To listen to the podcast. If you think you're the best listener of the podcast, you've just been beaten by TZ in Philippines.
But
best of luck with the typhoon
and stuff.
Yeah, don't do that, ladies and gentlemen. Don't do that. Don't. But that's you often hear about typhoons in Japan, right? Not just because I'm in Japan, but they're often reported in the world press. I think because Japan is a more economically developed country, so you know, Europe and America relate to it. But Philippines get the worst of it often because they're not as well prepared for it. They don't have the infrastructure, and the typhoons hit them full on. So I feel a bit bad for them. I really hope the situation's kind of improved, but. Yeah, best of luck, TZ. I hope things get better. And spare a thought for the Philippines next time you're having a nice day. because they seem to get a lot of typhoons there. It's really quite bad. We got one from Mike from New York. It says, "Hey, Chris and Pete, during a trip to Japan earlier this year, I met two different couples, with one Japanese couple and one Japanese and one South Korean partner in Tokyo and Osaka. Then after coming home, there was all this news about the two countries' deteriorating relations. It surprised me to see these two young couples getting together, but the countries separating. I'm curious about your thoughts or experiences on this. Also, listening to last week's episode where you guys read some great Japanese English reminded me about a gem I found at a random bar in Kabukicho in Tokyo. Enjoy." And Mike has sent us a photo of what appears to be izakaya, just a Japanese pub restaurant, and they've got some sort of dish which appears to look, well, it looks awful. It looks like cucumber with tofu. But the description in English literally says, "Soy sauce reckoning of the cream cheese." Soy sauce reckoning of the cream cheese.
Wow.
I don't know what it actually is.
Sounds like
it's some sort of cream cheese dish.
Sounds like a Marvel film.
Soy sauce reckoning?
Yeah.
Sounds like someone's racist like interpretation of a Marvel film in the
Asia. Yeah, yeah.
Soy sauce reckoning. Brilliant. Well done.
Stuff.
As for the comments, yeah, it's quite interesting. Obviously, South Korea and Japan are not in a good place at the moment. Their relationship goes up and down every couple of years. Usually the governments of both countries, whenever things aren't going great, they like to kind of get a bit political, a bit nationalistic, and all things tend to go to shit. But it's sad. It is sad. But there's lots of South Koreans in Japan, and they get by perfectly fine, and doesn't seem to be too much hate going on here on the streets. It's more on the TV, you know.
Yeah.
It's true though. It's true. I remember when I was in Osaka, I went to a hub, everyone's favourite British bar, and I sat down with my friend Luke from Essex, who was there, and we sat down, had a drink, and after about an hour, we had accumulated loads of random friends in this hub. We had like two nurses from Japan. We had like a tourist from Taiwan, another girl, and another girl from South Korea, and it was really nice. We had two British guys, two folks from South Korea, two folks from Japan, another one from Taiwan, and they're all speaking English, all getting on perfectly fine.
Yeah.
And it taught me A, the importance of English, and B, that everyone in Asia, when they kind of take out the kind of government politics and nationalism, everyone does get on pretty well. So that's my thoughts on it, Mike. It's mostly blown up in the media, and while there are genuine ramifications of it all playing out in the economy, for the most part people just get on with it, and it doesn't seem to affect too many relationships, I find. But there you go. What do we got next, Mr. Dawson?
Hello to Yuri. Hello, Yuri. Hi, Chris and Pete. This is following on from last week, where a guy, I think, wanted to date a Bulgarian. Heard my question on the podcast and thought I would update you. I already learned to greet everyone on the course in all of their languages, Bulgarian, Greek, Hindi and Romanian. So I knew she liked it, which spawned the idea. Unfortunately, she started dating someone before I was able to ask her at the end of the course. But I gained a good friend instead. I swear I'm not disappointed. Maybe just a little. On the bright side, though, I passed the CELTA, C-E-L-T-A, which I highly recommend, and I've started to apply for jobs in Japan, so all is well that ends well. Kind regards, Yuri. Yuri, to new beginnings and new horizons and new Jack, the wrestler. I don't know why. I did rule of threes. I had to put a third one in there, but it doesn't make any sense.
Absolutely. Do you remember Yuri's story? Basically,
Yuri
was studying a CELTA, the English language teaching course, and he liked a girl who was from Bulgaria, and he wanted to chat her up or ask her out on a date in Bulgarian. And that happened last week. We said, let us know how it goes. We always like to follow up on a story here on the Abroad Japan podcast. And the end of the story is already dating someone. So that's a shame. But at least he ended it with a positive spin that they're applying for a job in Japan. So best of luck, Yuri. I'm sure you'll find love soon. And on the subject of love, we got a question here from Lisa talking about Tinder. Hey, Chris and Pete. Greetings from Yamagata. Yes, my favourite prefecture, where I lived in North Japan for 3 years. I'm currently teaching in this wonderful prefecture and love listening to the podcast and my walks to school. My question is about dating in Japan, particularly the app Tinder. I am new to Tinder in Japan and have noticed that most people here don't show their face on the app. Instead, there's an onslaught of photos of ramen, grapes, cartoons, cats, or even yakiniku barbecue as profile photos. What is this all about? Do Japanese people want to remain private at all times, even in a dating app? Why in God's name would I swipe right to a bunch of grapes or a box of cherries to take me out on a date? Any other recommendations on how to meet people in Japan? Thanks and keep up the wonderful work, Lisa. Would you swipe right to a box of grapes, Pete?
Well, the answer's yes. Well, of course I would. The grapes are technically delicious. And if you put them in the microwave, they start sparking.
Technically delicious. Mm. Have you ever used Tinder in Japan? Have you ever used it in Tokyo at all?
I think we spoke before. My friend lies. Lies. My friend did, but they seem to use it as kind of like a friend grabbing service. People just aren't into
a friend grabbing service.
Maybe it's just because obviously my friend was in a situation where he was leaving in that week, so maybe he was attracting friends rather than. Lovers.
Friends, though. Friend grabbing. The world of friend grabbing. Mm. I used Tinder once a few years ago. I actually made a video called How to Date Japanese Girls, and after that, it was kind of a satirical take on it all. I just sat down with my friend Chiaki, and we had a little bit of a chat. And then after that, I think I suggested, I should make a video, Tinder in Tokyo. And everyone said, yeah, do it, Chris, do it. Peer pressure, yeah. So I started researching for the video by basically downloading Tinder, walking around Tokyo on it and seeing what happened. And Lisa's absolutely right. I'd say like one in three or one in four Tinder profiles is just like a box of grapes or a picture of a salmon or a mountain. And they're just the most surreal profiles. A lot of them are in English. I remember one girl that I saw who was on there, an attractive girl. Her profile had, I like ramen and SeaWorld. And that was it. That was her, like, description, her profile description. Mm. Suffice to say, didn't swipe right there. Because as much as I like ramen, I am not that bothered about SeaWorld. Mm. People are a bit weird on Tinder in Japan. I think maybe it's because they don't want to be seen as being on Tinder. You know, it could be a bit awkward if you're in Yamagata. And to be fair, Yamagata, I know folks that have used Tinder with success in Yamagata. Albeit, you have to pay for the premium Tinder version, where you can get access to anywhere, because on normal Tinder, I think there's a 25 or 50 kilometer radius or something.
Okay.
But there's no people in Yamagata. There's a few thousand people in Yamagata. So what folks would do? Yeah, people would like pay for the premium version and then go to Sendai, which is like 3 hours drive from Yamagata or whatnot.
I see.
And I know people that did use Tinder successfully would use it in Sendai or whatnot. But that's my advice, Lisa. Pay for the premium version or go to Sendai, because not much going on in Yamagata in the world of love, unfortunately. I suspect it's just down to the fact people are a bit shy, because it's a bit awkward bumping into your friend on Tinder. But best of luck. Honestly, Yamagata is not a great place for dating. North Japan in general, absolute nightmare. There's a reason all the young folks disappear and go to Tokyo. Because that's where the other young people are, and that's where love happens. Keep the stories, questions, comments coming into BrawnJapanPodcast@gmail.com. We'll be back same time next week to do it all over again. But for now, ladies and gentlemen, as always, have yourself a great week, and we'll see you next Wednesday or Thursday. Don't know what day it is. Thursday, isn't it?
Yeah, Thursday morning.
Yeah.
No, Wednesday night.
See you Thursday.
I'm confused.
See you Wednesday night.
Wednesday night.
Have a good one.
Happens.
Get there in a minute. Disgusting.
Should call the podcast that, Where Love Happens.
Where Love Happens. That'll be the next podcast for your radio, your podcast empire.
Yes, Late Like Love Nicks.
Was a Stakhanov production.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we'll weigh around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.